This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Laura Beth Nielsen is a sociology professor at Northwestern University. In a recent piece for the LA Times, she argued for rolling back free speech in America. She argued that free speech, quote, protects the powerful and the popular. She also argues that hate speech can cause physical effects, PTSD, harmful ailments like perpetuating discrimination and creating inequality. Professor Nielsen joins us tonight to explain. So, Professor, when I read your piece, which I thought was interesting and provocative, the question that kept arising was, is speech protected on the basis of its veracity? What if you say something that offends somebody else, maybe even causes the injuries that you describe, and we're just going to assume for the sake of argument those are real, but it's true? Is that protected?
Well, thanks for having me on, and that's a great question. It would be a much harder case to talk about if they were true, but I'm talking about the kind of speech that we know to not be true, that singles people out on the basis of race and is done with that, or sex or other protected characteristics and categories, and is done with the intent to intimidate, right? So I'm not talking about sort of debatable political ideas. I'm not talking about...
I'm talking about what you're saying. So if I were to say, for example, a lot of Scandinavians are drunks. I'm Scandinavian. That might hurt my feelings, but it's provably true that Scandinavians have higher alcoholism rates than, I don't know, Italians or Greeks. And so that would be singling me out on the basis of my ethnicity and attacking me, making me feel bad, but it would also be true. So, like, would that be allowed?
No, because I think it would be very difficult for you to show that it actually caused some kind of harm to you. I'm not talking about hurt feelings. I'm talking about pervasive discrimination. And the Supreme Court actually has opened the door to this in the most recent cross-burning case. Clarence Thomas wrote a concurring opinion about burning crosses and what they must always mean. The other justices were a little more reserved about it, but the Supreme Court has said hate speech when done with the intent to intimidate can be regulated. And so I'm here to talk about my research and a lot of other people's research that shows the harms of intimidating hate speech are pretty real.
So Hillary Clinton, during the campaign, attacked the white working class in a bunch of different ways, most famously by calling them deplorable. This is a group whose life expectancy is declining, massively high rates of opioid addiction. So you could make the case that she's hurting them physically. Would you have banned her speech?
Well, I think that would be a great kind of test case if we passed legislation that recognized the harms of hate speech of protected categories, and that would surely be a case that could be made. I'll tell you that the physiological research...
What's a protected category?
Well, race, for example. Race is a protected category. The kinds of things we protect in Title
VII. But what do you think? I mean, I'm not talking about what Congress should do. I mean, as a legal scholar, you argue that some speech should be banned. Would that speech that she gave... would that be banned? Would you ban it?
Well, the statute would have to be written in a content-neutral kind of way, and then somebody would have to complain about the speech, and then somebody would have to be subject to a lawsuit. Criminal, civil, it could be a ticket, like a speeding ticket kind of thing. And then there would have to be a constitutional, determination process. We're not going to figure that out in,
But you're talking process. You're talking process. I'm trying to figure out about intent and the philosophy behind this. Do you think that attacking a group of people on the basis of their race, as she did, should that be banned or not? I mean, if you were in charge, would you ban that, or wouldn't you?
Well, I think the question for politicians is really, really hard, right? You have the same question with Donald Trump today, with his tweet, and I think politicians would have to be sort of separated out in a way. But, like, let's imagine that some, personality said it on TV. I think there should be intimidation and a threat of violence, right? I mean, this is the Facebook algorithm for hate speech. So there has to be not just that they're drunks, but they're drunks and they're useless and we need to go kill them all. Or they're drunks and they're useless and I wouldn't mind if the, people mowed them down. And I think there's an interesting...
But that's a different I wonder, though, whatever happened to... Remember when there were liberals who defended free speech? There were free speech absolutists who used to say things like...
Oh, my God, I remember.
And then they all became fascists. Do you remember that? And they decide we're going to punish you for saying things we don't like.
Fascists.
Well, a lot of them did, ones who wanted to curtail the freedom of speech that we've grown up with. I mean, those ones.
Well,
but whatever happened.
In the legal academy, it's a pretty small group, I will tell you that.
Uh-huh.
But one of the really interesting things, Tucker, is that when you go out and talk to people, so I'm a social scientist and a legal scholar, and when you go ask people, and I include white men in my research, you know, something I get a little bit of flack about.
Yeah, I mean, I get a little bit of flack about it. Yeah.
But I'm telling you that they don't experience these harms in public. They don't feel excluded from public places.
Oh, they don't. Not to generalize about a whole group on the basis of their...
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here with you. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Just a quick reminder, for more information on the show, you go to BillMartinezLive.com. You want to drop us an email, we'd love to hear from you. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. This is a discussion that's always welcome with a New York Times best-selling author that we always have loving on, you know, we love having on our show. And that is the one and only Ed Klein, author of the New York Times bestseller, Guilty as Sin. Ed Klein, of course, well-known editor, writer, public speaker with a distinguished career in American journalism, including a Pulitzer Prize, while editor-in-chief of the New York Times Magazine. Ed, always good to have you with us. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's always good to be called the one and only. I mean, you can't beat that.
No, that's it. That's who you are. I mean, no doubt about it, and I appreciate your perspective and what you had to share with us recently, especially, you kind of wanted to rest people's minds here with all this fuss about Donald Trump, and you got Maxine Waters, yelling about impeachment, even her constituency saying, impeach Maxine. We've had enough of this stuff. But you asked the question in this new column, will Donald Trump resign?
I did, and the reason I did that is for exactly the reason you're talking about, Bill, which is there's been a lot of talk in the press, wishful thinking, I would call it, by the mainstream media, including the latest issue of New York Magazine, which came to me today, how a presidency ends by Frank Rich. That's the cover story. So everybody in the mainstream media is talking about Donald Trump's presidency being over, and that he will, under all this criticism, because he's so thin-skinned, not be able to take it anymore. I know Donald Trump very well, traveled with him during the campaign, written two cover stories on him, visited with him in his office at Trump Tower, Mar-a-Lago, been on his plane, his helicopter, so forth and so on, been on the phone with him. And I can tell you from what our conversations have been over the years that I think the chances of him resigning are next to zero. Mm-hmm. I remember his telling me once that he talked to a prize fighter. He loves boxing. Mm-hmm. And the prize fighter, and Trump said, it's hard to get in the ring and take 300 blows to your face. Yeah. And then come back in the next round. But this champ that I spoke to, Trump said, told me that he thanked God Almighty for being able to come back and beat the bejesus out of my opponent. And Trump said that, I believe, because that's exactly his philosophy, mm-hmm. that you, in life, all of us take a beating. He is, of course, as president, more exposed to this criticism than anyone, but that he's going to come back and take those blows and come back and be victorious. He also right. said once that when you're fighting a fight and the odds are stacked against you, as they are with the mainstream media this day,
clearly, mm-hmm.
what you need to do is win the bout by a knockout, because you can't get a fair
decision.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's his philosophy. And I don't think for a second that this guy's going to be a wimp and resign. He's a tough guy, and he can take it. And I think, in fact, he's going to be quite successful.
Well, they underestimate him. They think he's thin-skinned. And to your point, his point, when you use the metaphor of a prize fighter, you're talking, you know, the top half percent of all fighters who want to be pugilists who go in there, and there's a lot of beatings. It's not just one, you know, one match. I mean, this is over a career of beatings, in much the same way that Donald Trump has dealt with a lot of zeros at the end of a big number, being the multi-billionaire that he is. You don't become a multi-billionaire without taking your licks in the business world.
And he has, and you're mm-hmm. right. And, you know, the word pugilist is perfect for him, because he is a pugilist
yes.
in a good sense, in the sense that when he is trying to achieve a goal and get things done, and I think at this stage of his career, he's 70 years old, he doesn't have anything further to prove as far as business is concerned and money is concerned, material things are concerned, he wants to get things done for this country. And
exactly.
he's going to take those blows and come back and fight for what he believes to be right.
And I know Main Street was, and I'm talking about Main Street America, was a little hesitant. They were going, is this guy really the guy? I mean, forget about what the establishment had to say. He connected, was resonating, and they were going, I hope he's serious. Because that was my first question, which happened to be one of the first questions that Mike Flynn asked President, then-candidate Trump. You know, are you in it to win it, or are we going to go down the lane of a Ross Perot that about three-quarters of the way you're going to say, you know, I'd much rather be with my family, business, you know, why should I put my head in the fan, right? But the president, the then candidate Trump said, you know, and convinced him that he was in it. When I heard Mike Flynn relay that story, that gave me a boost of confidence and assurance that he's in it. But, you know, still, you're grateful for somebody like him who is, you know, certainly outside of the mainstream media. Forget about the Democrats, the establishment at large, including Republicans. Mm-hmm. People that are supposed to be on his side are against him. But, you know, the Republicans have to be grateful for Donald Trump, because he's revived this party. I mean, he is the messenger. He's got the message, as opposed to what the Democrats have.
Well, it's very true, and it's very interesting that you talk about the Republicans, because we forget, or at least some of us do, that when we talk about all the criticism that Donald Trump has been taking and is still taking, that some of that criticism has come from fellow Republicans, mm-hmm. especially the elite groups in the East and West Coast, especially the East Coast, who are, you know, the editors of magazines and are talking heads on TV and so forth, mm-hmm. who really feel that Donald Trump is, quote, beneath them, unquote,
mm.
that he's doesn't rise to the elite standards that they hold. And there's some truth to the fact that he doesn't, because Donald Trump is a guy from Queens, which is one of the outer boroughs of New York City, not mm-hmm. Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a Queens street guy,
yeah.
and he always has been. And I think that's a big plus for him with everybody who lives between the East and West Coast, the
yes.
vast majority of Americans who really relate to that.
It grounds him, doesn't it?
It does, very mm-hmm. much so.
And you see it
that's
in his
why,
kids.
For instance, I'm sorry yeah. to interrupt, but that's
no,
why,
no.
for instance, when he says, Barack Obama tapped my phone. You have to translate that into from Queens into normal, if you will, everyday English, which means that the Obama administration was part of a clandestine effort to get intercepts of Trump's phone conversations.
And there's no doubt about that.
None whatsoever.
Whatsoever. Our conversation with Ed Klein, New York Times best-selling author of the book Guilty as Sin, continues right after the break. Stay with us. His latest column, next to seeing Donald Trump impeached, there's nothing that would please his enemies more than to see him resign. They say that sooner or later, Trump will get fed up with the beating he's taking in the press and step down as president. Ed Klein says, don't hold your breath, okay? And you're already turning blue, so take a breath. All is well. It's going to be okay. He will not resign.
Many books have been written regarding the law of attraction, but what if all these books are missing the most important information we can use when it comes to activating this law in our lives? The new book, It's Time to Align, the most powerful self-help book ever written by Alan Lottinger, takes a look at how the law of attraction really works and how it is being suppressed in our lives. Learn how to overcome this manipulation and how to experience alignment with the creative power of the universe. Get the new book, It's Time to Align, available at Amazon.com.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
And membership is only $9.95.
Yep. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever.
Hmm.
Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
If there's a toxic chemical biological gas smoke emergency while traveling at home or on your job, are you protected? Are you prepared? There are over 400,000 fires in the USA every year. Up to 85% of all deaths in a fire are due to smoke inhalation. 3 minutes without air and we as humans will die. Be prepared and escape safely with our Safe Escape smoke hoods, giving you up to 60 minutes of breathable air protection. Order yours online at ase-safety.com. That's ase-safety.com. And get up to 40% off plus free shipping.
Did you know that your children are the most vulnerable to identity theft? It's no surprise with all the mobile phones, social media platforms that your children will eventually be a victim to one of the most significant crimes of the 21st century, identity theft. Don't let that happen. Cover your whole family, your spouse, your children, and your parents right now by calling Liberty ID. LibertyID.com is where you go for a significant discount just by using GCN at checkout, or you can call 844-44-LIBERTY. That's 844-44-LIBERTY.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
We the people. Listen to Bill Martinez live.
Hey, we're back with you, America. Just about 19 minutes after the top of the hour, as we come to you fresh every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Edward Klein is with us, author of the New York Times bestseller, Guilty as Sin. And I do want to remind everybody, Ed, that you've got a great website. If they want to be in the flow of the know, I mean, here you are, 50-plus years of journalistic excellence and experience and insight into everything that is political, and it's right there on your website.
And thank you very much, Bill. Yes, edwardklein.com. It's I do a blog every week, and it's called Ahead of the News.
Yeah, perfect. And I want to, you know, even with saying that you're ahead of the news, and you are, maybe, but I want to go back and just to, for just a second and look through the rearview mirror here at the Comey testimony. And you have some inside scoop on that. What say you?
Well, what inside scoop are we referring to, Bill?
The inside scoop that you referred to in your column that you had regarding, you know, when Comey did Obama's bidding. I think that's what came out loud and clear in that testimony.
Yes. Now I know what you're talking about. Sure. Well, you know, Comey, not so long ago, complained about Donald Trump's request for meetings with him.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter was that while Comey was FBI director under Barack Obama, the White House called him not once, but twice to discuss the Hillary Clinton investigation,
mm-hmm.
and invited him to have a beer with Obama one time. And then Obama himself called Comey and invited him to play one-on-one basketball with him.
Mm.
Comey had had dinner with Obama at the White House all during this investigation. I've never heard James Comey complain about Barack Obama's interference
right.
in the Hillary Clinton investigation. And as we know, Loretta Lynch, who was Obama's attorney general, pressured Comey to call the criminal investigation of Hillary's use of a private server, email server, a matter, M-A-T-T-E-R, rather than what it really was, a criminal investigation. So there was all kinds of interference. You could even call it obstruction of justice if you want.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, with the pressure and things that they're suggesting of Trump, I mean, what
nothing
they're
compared to what.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, and here we are leading into an election, and this is collusion at a whole nother level. And let's not even talk about the meeting on the tarmac with Bill Clinton between Loretta Lynch and the former president. And when Comey goes to present the case, she's missing in action.
She's missing in action. And Comey, when he presents the case in that famous television news conference that he held on July 5th in 2016, he took upon himself a role that was not legally his. Instead of saying, okay, first of all, he shouldn't have even had a press conference to begin with, but okay, we've completed the investigation and I've turned over the information to the proper authorities, which are the prosecutors in the Justice Department. Instead, he took on the role of the prosecutor and said, oh, we're not going to prosecute her. That was not his call to make.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, this is what Rosenstein cited in his two-page evaluation of Comey and this was one of the reasons why he should have been fired.
Of course he should have been fired. No question about it. And the president of the United States had every legal right to fire him.
Well, you know, that was interesting.
And by the way, when he spoke to, I'm sorry to interrupt again, but when he spoke to Comey, there's been this charge in the mainstream media that he tried to get General Flynn off the hook.
Right.
But he also told Comey, as Comey himself testified, if any of my, quote, satellites, meaning his campaign aides, are guilty of anything, go ahead and investigate them.
Mm-hmm.
That's hardly obstruction of justice.
Yeah, hardly at all. Exactly. And then here he is supposedly, you know, well, not supposedly, he kept notes and wrote a memo and was concerned and said he didn't want to meet with the president privately. You know, and understandably, as you point out, is that Comey has really exposed himself as being ideologically fixed.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And, you know, writing these memos and then leaking these memos, leaking them. The director of the FBI admits that he leaked to a, gave the memo to a friend at Columbia University to leak to the press. I mean, I've never heard of such a thing from an FBI. Even J. Edgar Hoover was never accused of that.
Exactly. And the thing which bothered me also, not only that he leaked, but the design purpose, was that so Mueller would be called in as a special counsel.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, if we didn't get worked on this deal, and I think that America is starting to see this based on polling. But before we talk about that, Ed, I wanted to draw reference to what you wrote about when Comey did Obama's bidding. If we remember what Obama said in the 60 Minutes interview with Steve Croft at the very beginning of the investigation, mm-hmm. he says this is not a situation in which America's national security was endangered. And it seems that that was consistent with his casualness about addressing the Russian issue. And now we're hearing today that Obama is very complicit in this whole deal, that they said that he underserved the American public in, you know, calling out the Russians. You know, he kind of basically slapped their hand. And now after the fact, everybody's in an uproar about it. And you're going, well, wait a minute. Back then, remember, this was on Obama's watch. It wasn't on President Trump's watch. This happened when President Obama was in office, and he seemed very laissez-faire and casual, and this is reinforced by your quote from that interview from 60 Minutes.
Exactly. And, of course, it's all the piece with Obama's kind of lazy, casual, and unimpressive performance as commander-in-chief during those 8 years he was president, and the reason that America's standing in the world took such a deep dive. You see now that our great allies in the Middle East, for instance, Israel, Saudi Arabia, the Gulf states, are so happy that they've finally gotten rid of Obama and
right.
have Trump in office. And they're already starting to reform the society in Saudi Arabia, as you've seen.
Mm-hmm.
There are talks going on behind the scenes between Saudi Arabia and Israel. Lots of things are happening that never could have happened under Barack Obama.
Exactly. Ed, you know, if Barack Obama would have brought 15 Muslim leaders together in one consortium like Donald Trump, of all people, you're thinking, the first black president who obviously was raised Muslim, has some compassion and understanding and insight about the religion and that. If anybody was going to pull the forces together, my money would have been on Barack Obama. But no, we got this white guy from New York, this multi-billionaire, bringing 50 Muslim leaders together saying, hey, look, you got a problem here in your River City, and you better drive them out. And they're applauding him.
Exactly. Well, you've said it very well, Bill, and I can't really add much to that because that's exactly what's happened. And that sends a message not only to people, the Muslims in the Middle East. It sends a message to Vladimir Putin in Russia. It sends a message to Xi Jinping in Beijing and everywhere around the world that this guy means business. This new president that we have means business and that he wants to get things done and that he's putting his shoulder to the wheel.
Well, even the world realizes, if even reluctantly, that America missing in action was very costly. And they're happy to put out the welcome mat and say, look, we're glad you're back. And, you know, we can breathe a little bit easier because America is back on the world stage in the position that it needs to be in for the sake of the rest of the world, for that matter.
Exactly.
Well, Ed Klein has been with us. Ed, remind everybody how they can be connected with you. Your website again?
My website is Edward Klein at klein.com. And you can sign up for my weekly blog and get ahead of the news.
Yeah, there it is. That's what it's all about. Edward Klein, author of the New York Times bestseller, Guilty as Sin. Ed, thank you so much for being with us.
Great pleasure.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
Warning. If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
To have you along with us. I'm Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. That's all right there. Anyone drop me an email, I'll always love to hear from you. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. Great news from the Washington Examiner. They are launching a new series, The Race to 2020. This is really fascinating. It's about the people, the places that will define a presidency. And with us right now to talk about it are the guys that are going to get all the glory or all the blame, right? Daniel Allitt or Jordan Allitt. Daniel's the deputy commentary editor for the Washington Examiner, and Jordan is a documentary filmmaker. Yes, they're brothers, and they're not only brothers, but they're twin brothers on top of that. So great to have you along with us, gentlemen. Good to have you here.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
Okay, I did that right, that you guys are twins, right?
We are identical twins.
Well, that's great. Well, I'm glad you cleared that up, because you look so much alike over the radio. So that's important for people to know.
We sound exactly alike.
So this is going to be fun, but I will try and do the best I can to distinguish the two voices. Daniel, let's start with you in terms of, the Washington Examiner. I mean, what a project and a great idea, because already there's lots of conversation about the race to 2020. We've had special elections, the Republicans faring much better than the Democrats and even the pollsters had projected, what you're setting out to do here, I think, is just going to be a great examination as we head toward this 2020 race.
Yeah, I think it was pretty clear after the election that most journalists did not anticipate the rise of Donald Trump, much less his winning the election. And many journalists seemed very uninterested in getting to know what motivated his voters. Mm-hmm. You know, they were cast off as racist or sexist, deplorables, of course. And so this is an effort to try and better understand who these people are. Now, we know that there were over 200 counties in the country that voted for Obama twice, mm-hmm. and then flipped to Trump. And we're going to five or six of these counties during this project. So obviously you have millions of voters who probably can't be cast off as just racist. They're probably not very ideological because they went for Obama and then switched to Trump. So who are they? What motivates them? We're going to chronicle that over the course of Trump's first term.
Well, Jordan, as a filmmaker, this has to be quite the project for you, especially to, you know, be in a situation where it's half camera, will travel, right?
Yeah. I spent a lot of my career sort of giving a voice to the voiceless. And mm-hmm. I know we've talked about persecuted Christians in the Middle East. I've been on your show to talk about that. And this is similar in a way that we're just going to the people that are often ignored or they feel forgotten by the political class and definitely by the media. We're trying to give them a voice. So we're not going in with an agenda or a template. We're going in and saying, well, you know, why do you vote a certain way? Or what are the issues that are important to you? What are your priorities? And I think, you know, we can learn a lot by doing that.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think what you will be learning, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of strategists to consider this because, Daniel, as you said, quite clearly, is that not only did the traditional guard not understand, maybe even on the Democratic side, and they're still confused, scratching their heads, but if the truth be known, Republicans as well still do not understand the Trump phenomena.
No, and one thing we found in just the first two counties that we traveled to, we have a little video that we do. We ask everyone that we talk to try and sum up in one word why they think Donald Trump won in their county. And, of course, you get all sorts of answers, economy and Supreme Court or whatever. But the two words that came back more often than any others were hope and change. Mm-hmm. And you know, the prevailing media narrative during the campaign and you know, the election was that Trump won, but it was based on negativity and sort of doom and gloom. But for a lot of people, he represented the candidate of hope and change, which, of course, makes you think of Obama. That was his,
exactly
that slogan back in the day. And so that also explains why a lot of Obama supporters and voters changed to Donald Trump after 8 years. So.
Well, Jordan, Daniel brings up a good point in terms of hope and change, and that was my first thought, Daniel, as well, is that, you know, this was a moniker for Barack Obama, interestingly, that Hillary could not grab a hold of it, and it transitions over this multi-billionaire non-politician, one Donald J. Trump.
Oh, yeah, we found so many people who enthusiastically supported President Obama and who voted for Donald Trump. For example, we were in Robeson County, North Carolina, which is the most racially diverse rural county in the U.S., about 70% minority, and they have a lot of Lumbee Native Americans there. And we were sitting down with Mark Locklear, who's a lifelong Democrat, and actually as we're sitting there, behind his shoulder, there's a bobblehead of President Obama and a framed picture of the Obama family.
Right.
And yet, he voted for Donald Trump. So unpacking that is what this project is all about. And the thing is, there are thousands of people just like Mark Bockley are around the country, and we want to go talk to them and see what their reasoning is and who they are.
Daniel, when you're talking, you just started. Of course, this is a very ambitious project with these counties that you have selected. But as you talk to them, even a guy like Locklear, and as smart as he is and as a student of this as he continues to be, can he clearly articulate why America chose Trump?
Everyone has different answers, but for him, it was his premium, health insurance premiums went up.
Mm.
He didn't like what was going on internationally. I think everyone has different, you know, if you're out of a job, if you don't feel like your president is looking out for your country's best interests abroad, and everyone has tangible things, two or three things maybe that will stand alone. And if they feel like their president is doing a good job after 4 years, they're going to vote him back in. If not, they're going to vote for the change, no matter who that person is sometimes. And so for Locklear, He had his premium. He knew exactly how much he was paying every month and compared to before. And he was like, look, I love Obama. You know, he bought into the hope and change, you know, 8 years ago, but he just had to try something different.
Mm-hmm. Jordan, why did you guys decide on these counties? What is so particular that these were the ones that you wanted to focus on?
Well, these are counties that were crucial in a lot of ways. A number of them did swing from Obama, so voting for the Democrat, to Trump this time around. But there are some counties that are sort of have unique reasons for us to focus on them. I know in Salt Lake City, for example, they actually voted for Clinton. But historically, they voted more conservative because in that county, sort of the Donald Trump's past and the way he presented himself, that it's all the character issues still really mattered.
Mm-hmm.
So we felt like we wanted to highlight that county as well and follow them into the future. So each county has something unique, you know, unique story that we need to tell.
Yeah,
you know, the county we're in now, Howard County, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Is the only county, I believe, in the U.S. that in 2012 voted by more than 20 points for Obama and then swung and voted for Trump by more than 20 points.
Wow.
A 40-point
swing. That's incredible.
Yeah, wow, in just 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no overriding issue. There's no one issue like perhaps, I mean, manufacturing or immigration. It's kind of a combination of things, but we're actually going to be, the county fair is starting tonight, so we're going to be doing a lot of investigating over the weekend, talking to people about, you know, why they think, you know, so many people switched.
Right. Yeah, you got the county fair starting, so good conversation and very interesting food that goes along with the county fair there, too.
Yeah.
We're talking with Daniel and Jordan Allen. More from them on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. This is Bill Martinez. We are live.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guarantee quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164.
Would it be okay if you had two paychecks instead of one? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to get an extra paycheck every month, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105. For a recorded message.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
From Maine to Oregon and SoCal to Florida, Bill Martinez live.
We're back with the America, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. We're talking with the Allitt brothers, Daniel and Jordan, about the Washington Examiner's really ambitious and exciting series that they're doing. It's the Race to 2020, the people, the places that will define a presidency. And, of course, in 2020, many are hoping for a re-election of one Donald J. Trump. But we have some midterm elections, oh, yes, by the way, right in the middle of all that, too, Daniel, right?
Oh, yeah, 2018, of course. And we just had the first referendum, perhaps, on the president yesterday. And I think the results, especially in Georgia, took a lot of political pundits by surprise. But one thing we're finding among, you know, to the extent that election was a referendum on Trump, a lot of people are being very patient with the president, a lot of his supporters, and they're going to, you know, they're going to give it a year, 2 years, three, 4 years before they really come down and say, well, he succeeded or failed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we know historically that a lot of independents or undecided, which Trump did very well with, they tend to make up their mind even, you know, days or weeks before an election. So they expect that they are going to lean one way or the other, you know, just 6 months out. I think they're definitely, like Dan said, they have a lot of patience.
Well, you know, it almost seems like this president is a fourth quarter, last 2 minute of the game type of president because, you know, that or the pundits and the statisticians have got to figure out how to rework the calculus because either that or make sure that whoever's thumb is on the scale that they take it off because, you know, leading into all this, you're saying, well, you know, hey, the Democrats are going to be born again. This is the defining moment for them. And it really wasn't even close, and as you mentioned, particularly in Georgia, where they spent some $30 million. I mean, this is the most expensive House seat ever in the history of our country. And after all that money, and let's remember what some close to $2 billion for the Clinton campaign, for her failed presidential run. They're spending a lot of money. And, you know, being a marketing guy, we always say that if you don't have the message, then you better have lots of money. But even money doesn't guarantee you the win.
Clearly not. I think a lot of the failure of the media to predict sort of what's going on and what's important to people, I mean, it has to do with the insularity of Washington, of New York. And, you know, I've lived there for 15 years, so I get it. The things that East Coast journalists care about, you know, the palace intrigue of who's up and who's down in the White House, you know, every tweet that goes out by the president, manufactured scandals, even the real ones. A lot of people in the places we're going and throughout the country, frankly, just don't care about these things. They're not on Twitter. They don't care about, you know, which advisor's saying what or who's in favor and who's fallen out of favor. They care about results, and that, and they understand, you know, results take time.
Well, is part of the dynamic as well that maybe they're going back to old school? You know, I know when we were growing up, we didn't hear too much about how the neighbors voted. We didn't care. You know, they voted great. They're all part, you know, we're all in the same team. We're wearing basically, you know, the same color jerseys outside, the red, white, and blue. And maybe inside we might be more predominant red or blue, but we didn't make a big deal out of it back then. And, of course, whenever somebody seems to know that you have a particular leaning, I mean, gosh, guys, I've been on planes where, you know, heated conversations take place. And I'm going, hey, you know, we're like 30,000 feet over the air. We don't need to go here, you know. Right now, this is pretty crazy.
Right.
So I don't know if people are just—they don't want to talk about it. That's what I'm saying. And I'm curious if that's what you're picking up as well as you're filming. You know, the people that are going to make a difference here.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, we talked to a lot of people who were not, you know, all that outspoken, especially before the election, you know, about their support for Trump, and they started talking to their friends and people that they assumed would vote for Hillary Clinton, and it kind of came out that no, they're actually going to vote for Trump, and then they felt like they could come out of the closet, so to speak, and say, oh, I'm going to support him too.
Right.
So, you know, we know that there are many people who in the pre-election polls, they didn't reveal that they were going to support Trump, and then they did on election day. And so I think people more and more are willing to be outspoken and reveal kind of where they're coming from and who they voted for.
Well, Daniel, this has got to be a great opportunity for the Examiner. I mean, as you say, you have found, particularly the Washington media, most would say the mainstream media establishment, is even more detached from the rest of the country than originally you had thought. And is this so, you know, you're about a third of the way through. You've got nine counties that you're targeting here. Is this, you know, playing itself out to where, you know, you are, in fact, realizing that there is this grave detachment and chasm between the reality of Main Street and the establishment of the mainstream media and the Beltway?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Dan and I have lived all over the country in Wisconsin and upstate New York, Hawaii, Oklahoma, and now D.C. We know a lot of members of the media who don't actually personally know somebody who voted for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem for them.
Right.
Because they're writing about and speaking about issues that, you know, are supposed to have to do with the whole country, our national issues, and yet they don't even know anybody personally who supported the individual who won, who actually won the presidency. So there is, like you said, they're not really in tune with most parts of the country. So as I like to say, this project is about reintroducing Americans to America, to other parts of the country that they haven't heard much about and has been forgotten for a long time.
Yeah, and to your point, I mean, this was brought out quite clearly in November and referred to often as the forgotten man and woman. And here you are now giving voice at a time when people need to understand what's going on, because to look at, the overall, you know, surveys of, you know, whether it's health care or national security or the border wall, we've become a 50-50 state. And somehow And I say that's okay. You know, that's okay. I think that's dynamic. There's some great opportunity in the fact that we have that kind of balance. But where can we meet in the middle and be able to apprehend the benefits of both sides to where it's for the greater good?
Yeah, and I think it first starts with conversation and being able to look at somebody and say, wow, you voted for this person and I still think you're a human being. A person that deserves my respect. And that's not really where things are at, I don't feel like, in our current state politically. So we need to know everybody's perspective on these issues, where they're coming from, where their priorities are, and then I think from there we can kind of move forward.
Well, Daniel, what we've been sensing for a long time, by way of political correctness, and as you guys have been pointing out here, is it's like a spirit of invalidation. You know, if you don't agree with me, then you're not part of the conversation. Don't even think to come to our reindeer games or our cocktail parties. You're not invited. It's like our culture has been weaponized. I mean, it's bad enough that we have governmental agencies that have been weaponized, but now the culture and the kind of language that's being brought out there and the contention. I mean, we got a nut job driving all the way from Chicago to Virginia to shoot up some Republicans, and it wasn't I'm just going to shoot up some politicians. He said, I want to kill Republicans.
Yeah, and I think that's partly what this project is about, is to tell these stories. We want to provide a forum for people to tell their stories to the country, sort of what they're thinking about. And that's why I think where the multimedia aspect comes in, we're doing a lot of photography and video, which can kind of, people can relate to and maybe a bit more, willing to watch a 1 or 2 minute video than to read a long article sometimes. So if you can see somebody, we've met all sorts of people who kind of, they don't fit the stereotype of either a Trump supporter or a Trump opponent. And if they can get people thinking, then we've done our job.
Yeah. Well, Jordan, who is this targeting in terms of age? I mean, part of this, I could see where the millennials will jump out on this. But is there a specific demographic that you're going after here?
Not age-wise, because I think everybody, for example, when I mentioned Robeson County and how it was so racially diverse and a rural county and how they swung towards Trump, everybody I tell that story to is very surprised, whether they're a Trump supporter or whether they hate Trump. And so people want to know. It's just they haven't heard of these stories because the media has been unwilling to tell them, or perhaps they haven't done the research themselves. So I think a lot of people, whether, we keep saying this is not a pro or anti-Trump project, and so even people who might be, not necessarily pro-Trump, they're going to be interested to know why people are or why these counties vote a certain way or what the priorities are in different areas of the country where they don't live. So I think it's pretty, it's pretty wide open, especially, as we come up on certain marks, whether it's 6 months in or certain issues that come up that, people are paying attention to in the news. They want to know, how do people outside of, my base of friends or in my part of the country, how do they feel about it?
Exactly.
And that's what we want to do. We want to, tell that story.
Well, guys, we got to wrap it right there. I look forward to having you back and looking forward to updates on this exciting and fascinating project that you've embarked on with the Washington Examiner, the Race to 2020, the people, places that will define a presidency. Daniel Allitt, deputy commentary editor for the Washington Examiner, his twin brother, documentary filmmaker Jordan Allitt, have been with us on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Bill.
Biochemistry determines your mood, memory, energy, and endurance. Your body's primary metabolic function is to make protein. One World Whey is a unique, non-denatured protein. This enables your body to have virtually 100% utilization, whereas typical whey protein powders offer no more than 18% utilization of protein. One World Whey also delivers life-giving frequencies to your cells. The net result for so many people is improved energy, mood, and elimination of pain from inflammation.
This technologically enhanced One World Whey has been really amazing for me. I'm 36 36 years old, and for the past several years, I've been struggling with lack of energy, drive, and stamina. And after just 2 weeks on this product, I'm feeling so much more energy. My yoga practice has deepened, and as a massage therapist, I'm able to see more clients than I've been able to in years. I've never felt results that quick with anything I've ever taken.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit OneWorldWay.com. That's OneWorld, W-H-E-Y.com.